It would be difficult indeed, I believe, to overemphasize the importance of the biblical family. Though there will always be exceptions in every group of people, I am sure that many of us, if not most of us, here at Redland Road have been fortunate enough to have been brought up in good families. And most of us, I believe, are trying very hard right now to give our children and our grandchildren, in some cases, good homes, good biblical-based family atmosphere. Not a soul among us, I don't think, would argue that the family doesn't matter, that the family is not important, or that the Bible's teaching on families is not worth following. But all you have to do is take one glance at the world around us and you'll recognize that not everybody thinks that a good Christian family is important. Tonight, I want us to notice three reasons why a biblical family is critical. Number one, let me suggest it. By the way, there are no other PowerPoint slides. That's the only one you're going to see, so just enjoy that one as you sit there and look at it. But number one, take good notes. The family is important because the family is God's idea. God brought the family together in Genesis chapter 2. In fact, there in verses 18 and also verses 21 to 24, we read the account of the beginning of the first family. It says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him.'" Then beginning in verse 21, it says, "So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. And then God took one of his ribs and closed the flesh at that place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. And the man said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man.' For this reason, God said, 'A man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh.'" You know, it's not surprising to find God's word filled with instruction about the family. He defines the role that each of us must fill as husbands and wives and dads and moms and kids. In the latter part of Ephesians chapter 5, God uses the family relationship of the husband and wife primarily as an illustration of the relationship between Christ and the church. He talks about the permanence of marriage there and the bond that is to join the husband and the wife together. At the close of the chapter, he addresses the regard that the husband is to have for his wife and also the respect that the wife needs to have for her husband. If you continue reading into the beginning of Ephesians chapter 6, you'll find there that God instructs children on the importance of obedience to their parents as well as the proper training and upbringing that parents need to give to their children. In Matthew chapter 19, Romans chapter 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 1 Peter chapter 3, and other places, you'll find God in His Word expressing various ideals about marriage, husbands and wives, and the permanence of the marriage bond. God has a lot in mind for our families. It's not a subject that's easy to miss as you study through the Bible. Perhaps you've never thought about how much the Bible addresses the subject of families in one way or another very, very frequently throughout the pages of His Word, Old and New Testament. That's why I refer to our subject tonight as the importance of the biblical family. Not just the family. The family is very important, but when you add that word biblical there, you modify the term to make it something really specific and specific according to God. The family is God's idea. A second reason why the biblical family is so important is the fact that it's vital in a lot of different ways. Families, first of all, are vital to our children. The family, as taught in the Bible, provides the setting in which a child is trained and nurtured to maturity. From the instruction of the child's father and mother, a child learns what he needs to know to become not just a responsible adult, but also to become a devoted servant of God. In fact, if you turn to the book of Proverbs and read through, you will be surprised at the number of times, I counted quickly, at least 10 specific verses scattered through Proverbs that give specific instruction to children or sons regarding the importance of what they can learn from their father and mother. When family life begins to unravel, there is a definite impact upon the children of that family. Dr. Judith Wallerstein studied the children of divorce for 15 years to determine the long-term impact of divorce upon children. She found that children of divorce face a higher risk of depression, higher risk of poor grades in school, and a higher risk of substance abuse. They have greater struggles with intimacy. They have problems fitting in with their peers as young people and later problems in relationships with adults. She argued that when a divorce takes place, the whole trajectory of a child's life changes. We have people here who understand that far better than I do because you've lived through it. You've seen firsthand the pain and the struggle. And you perhaps have seen the effects on your life as you grew up in that situation. Or perhaps you've seen the effects in the lives of your children as they came through that. It is a sad thing that has become more a normal part of too many people's lives. A biblical family situation is vital to children. Biblical families are vital to our congregation. When Paul speaks in Ephesians chapter 6 of bringing up children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, he's acknowledging the fact that children need to grow up to serve the Lord. But notice that he places the greater burden of this nurturing upon the fathers of the family. You see, the things that we do as a church, as a congregation of God's people here at Redland Road, the Bible classes, the sermons, the lessons, the worship assemblies, even the youth devotionals and so forth, those things, while they are so tremendously important in the grand scheme of raising a family, those events are really secondary things. And yet I'm afraid that some families, even in the Lord's church, have gotten things turned backward. It appears that some regard the church and Sunday school classes and youth devotionals as being the primary source of the training and the nurturing of their children, and then just perhaps the home and family life is a supplement. That's just exactly opposite of what it needs to be. The home and family life needs to be the primary source of the training and the nurturing. And worship assemblies like this, and Bible classes, and youth devotionals, and all of those extracurricular activities are just that. Those are the supplements. Biblical families are vital to our congregation. Our congregation is vital to families, but not in the way that families, biblical families, are vital to our congregation. Because you see, when we do our work here as a group of God's people, the work is best done by people who every minute of every hour of every day of their lives are striving to be better Christians, better servants of God, better families. And when the family situation deteriorates, that leaves a gap, that leaves a hole, that leaves a deficiency in the efforts that can be made by this congregation of God's people. Many of us know from experience that when we're struggling with family issues, that struggle takes us away from the kind of participation and involvement and work that the church is depending upon us to help do. If spirituality in homes diminish, the work of the church will diminish as well. Biblical families are vital to our culture. You ever heard anybody say, as the home goes, so goes the nation? Or maybe you've heard, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. It's not surprising that those sayings have kind of fallen out of fashion today. Because the mindset that they represent is not in harmony with the attitude of our culture, which says family is not that important. What we do in our homes extends far beyond our little family unit. Homes are the building blocks of our society. And what happens within the four walls of our house, in a way, has an impact on our world. If our culture is to survive, we need strong, stable families. We need to be spending as much time as we possibly can influencing our young people on the importance of choosing the right mates, the importance of marrying for life, the importance of putting God and His Word and the principles that it contains into our hearts and living by those things every day in our relationships with one another, with husbands and wives, with friends, with children. God's Word and the principles of it need to be applied every minute of our lives. You see, with so much at stake, it's not hard at all to see why family is so important. Family is vital. Number three, the biblical family is under attack. That's the third reason why biblical families are so important. God has a plan for families. We've noted that already and looked at some of those passages. God has a plan for families, and it includes marriage for life, which produces legitimate children who will learn to serve God. Now, society refers to God's plan for the traditional family as just that, the traditional family, and often we'll hear that term used in a derogatory sense. The traditional family, like it's some kind of bad thing. The traditional family. Since 1970, the number of children growing up in a family modeled after God's plan has fallen in the United States from 40% to 24%. This dramatic cultural shift away from the traditional biblical family has come at a great price. And that should come as no surprise, because any time we stop following God's plan, there are always consequences. A great many of the problems that trouble our society today are rooted in the decline of families. There is no shortage of tragedy that fills our newspapers and news reports every day that we live in this nation. In a vast number of the crimes against society, including the recent mass murders that have filled the headlines and have triggered a lot of discussion and both rational and irrational responses, there's a common thread that runs through so many of them, though it's seldom mentioned. In so many of these cases, and you can look them up, you'll find that the perpetrator most often comes from a broken home where fathers or sometimes fathers and mothers have abandoned their roles in God's plan for the family. In fact, in recent stories about the tragic Sandy Hook school shooting, you can learn that now one major part of the investigation that's going on includes bringing in geneticists to study the shooter's DNA, hoping to find some kind of clue as to why a young man could do something so horrible as what he did. Nobody wants to talk about his parents' divorce in 2009 and the fact that his father had basically just simply excluded himself from the young man's life. This is not to say that every broken home produces a criminal. Nor is it to say that every person who engages in criminal activity can trace the problems back to a broken home. But it is simply to remark on the fact that when we don't follow God's plan, there are consequences. You know, perhaps the worst thing of all about all of this is The fact that many people today argue that a shift away from God's model for families is no big deal. People today will argue long and hard that God's plan isn't that important. That's the bad news. The good news is that if so many of these problems that we see today are the results of a shift away from God's plan, the easiest way to fix them is to shift back, is to return to God's plan, to do a better job of teaching our young folks and our old folks that God's way is the best way, that God's way is the only way to have something that is so important as a biblical family. I realize that I'm talking to a group of wonderful people here this evening, yet even many of whom have had some family experiences that every single one of us would wish that we could go back and just totally redo. And yet we've learned the reality of life is there's no going back and undoing and redoing. But we do know that there is a going forward. And going forward, God's way is the solution to so many of our problems today. Let's all redouble our efforts to do our part insofar as our influence can be used upon those around us, friends, family, whoever it may be, to in both word and example leave no question about the fact that God's way is the best way. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand and sing.